Okay, so we're up to Perek Beis, Nechemya Perek Beis Pasuk Zayin, Vo'imar LaMelech. Okay, so here we have Nechemya. Nechemya is making a request from Daryovish, 20th year of Daryovish. After Chodesh Nisan, he hears a report. He wants to leave. He's the butler, the Sahamashkim. He makes a request. The Daryovish suspects there's something wrong. What's wrong? Why is your face sour? He tells him, because I have received bad news about the land of the Kivros Avoisai, my ancestral land, the land where my forefathers are buried, and I want to go back and repair the walls. So he says, fine, you can go. The shegel was sitting by his side, which refers to Esther, or refers to the queen, or refers to a dog, whatever it refers to. Okay, you can go. He gives him a set time, and he says, you can go now. He makes a whole long list of requests. Now, I want to point out, just to keep this in mind, the contrast, the difference between Nehemiah and Ezra. I think that's a very central theme to Sefer Nehemiah. Keep on making comparisons between these two. Because after all, it's one Sefer. And the Chof Dalet, Sifrei Tanakh, Ezra Nehemiah is one Sefer. Rashi opens up the Sefer, the first Rashi, on the one hand, that Mikan Ve'elach. From here on, it's words of Nehemiah. But on the other hand, Rashi says, but in this Sefer. Rashi himself alludes to the dual nature of Sefer Nehemiah. It's a Sefer by itself, but it's also, on the other hand, a continuation. And there are two major figures, this Ezra, this Nehemiah. And you keep on looking very carefully, there are major differences in their role, their function. We spoke about this, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the building of Yerushalayim, the Asei Tov, Sur Meirah. There are very, very fundamental differences between the two. But here we're going to come across another fundamental difference, is that Nehemiah has no shame in asking Daryovish for supplies, for protection. Give me everything.
Why is it shame?
What?
Why is it shame? He has guts. That's all.
Exactly. Okay. So that's why. So, but Ezra Boshti, he says explicitly, I was embarrassed to ask, to make any requests. Everything was done, still hate, I want to go. The attitude is, it comes out here, and that's not my part. The Malvin points this out. The Malvin points out the difference here. He's asking for protection, and he says, I want this, I want that, I want letters, I want the letter for this one, I want a letter for that one, I want protection, I want to build a house for myself. I don't just want money to go build in timber to build a base in English. I want to build for my own self a beautiful palace. There is this lack of shame. There are these demands which Nehemiah makes of Daryovish without any reservation. Yeah.
Does this come after Ezra?
It definitely does come after Ezra. I'm sorry, take it back. That depends. That's the machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos. Okay. According to Rashi, it comes 12 years. According to Rashi, this is taking place 12 years after Ezra. According to Tosfos, this is taking place 3 years before Ezra.
Well, according to you, the opinion that it comes after Ezra.
Yeah.
Ezra required a change of status quo.
Okay.
To get started.
Okay.
Now you already have the status quo, and now he's
to build upon it. Okay, fine. And maybe okay.
He may have had more familiarity.
Okay.
When you say after Ezra, you mean after he was lifter, or
no?
We don't know that. That's a big mystery. No, that's a big mystery.
When these requests were made.
The last record of Ezra goes up in the sixth year of Daryovish. The Beis Hamikdash is completed in the seventh year, in the sixth or seventh year of Daryovish. Daryovish gives permission for it to be rebuilt in his second year. It took 4 years and 3 months, I believe, to conclude building the Bayis Sheni. And about a year afterwards, Ezra first goes up to Eretz Yisrael. So that was like the seventh year, if I'm not mistaken, of Daryovish. Here it says it was the 20th year. 20th year from what? So if you learned it was the 20th year, it was the 20th year from Daryovish. So that means Ezra was already there. He went up in the 7th, 8th year. Ezra already has been there for 12 years. So why, and that's the very big mystery. So why isn't Ezra involved in rebuilding the walls and taking care of all the problems? The last thing we have learned about Ezra is intermarriage.
Right.
Intermarriage, and that's where the curtain closes. We don't have any reference, any more reference. So I don't know, maybe he died. I'm not clear. There could be
according to the dating, the common dating that they use in the books, he passed away. He was lived at 3448.
Which is when?
Well, and they say the Beis HaMikdash was completed 3420.
Okay, so that means he lived during this tkufa. He was still alive. So what happened to him? So he served a different role, different function. He was elderly. Could be.
He was very old when he died.
Could be. So could be he was not akvia. No, I'm not. I don't mean to be critical. I mean it's a different attitude. It's a different approach. It's a different attitude. Look, we see in our own lifetimes. Every couple of years, you see the whole attitude. Every administration, like even to talk about the government in Israel, government in America. Every couple of years, there is a different administration. It's a different approach. Not, you can't say one is right, one is wrong. Times change, and when times change, there is a different requirement. The requirements, our attitude, our approach to how we deal with things changes. Sometimes it's appropriate to have a shtadlus, and sometimes there's a lack of a shtadlus. There's a very big debate, if you follow the news, about mitzitza bepeh. Okay, mitzitza bepeh. So there are a lot of different... Among the religious parties, I'm not talking about the people that are very happy that the government is stepping in and making regulations. I'm talking about the religious groups of people who are very upset, disturbed that the government is stepping in and making regulations on how mitzitza bepeh should be done. There are different schools of thought among the Haredi organizations of how to deal with it. Some of them are saying we have lawyers, we have a team of lawyers, we have people inside the government, and it's in our best interest to do everything quietly. If you're going to have rallies and go out and start rallying in front of City Hall, it's not going to work. It's going to make more trouble. And there are other groups in the Haredi world that no, we have to go out to shtadlus, you have to go out and rally and bring it to the public attention. It should be on television and the newspapers that they're interfering with religion, separation of church and state. And I'm not talking about the people, like I told you, that are very happy with I'm talking about even within the segment of people that agree that it's not a good, that there's a problem. How do you deal with the problem? So everyone is different. See, over here you have two different approaches. Ezra was very meek. I'm embarrassed. I don't want, here, well, let's read the Pesukim now. Oymar, he says, Lamelech, yeah. Ezra was also close. Ezra was a major personality. Ezra appears was not as Ezra was not as close, it appears. Nechemi was the Sar HaMashim. Sar HaMashim, you saw the king seemingly every single day. Every single day you saw the king. You're very close to the king. Ezra was not. It seemingly was not. Ezra was just. But on the other hand, a person like Ezra, a very big personality, even though the Sar HaMashim is a servant. He's a servant. A servant is not someone which has any political, any pull, any standing. He's a butler. He's an important person. He's a wise man. In the ancient times, you wouldn't just take anyone off the street to be your butler. You take a person that's a dignified person. But Ezra was a personality that we know was Shakal Kenegin Moshe Rabbeinu. So when the king, Dariavish, would deal with him, he dealt with him as a world leader, as a representative. Right. So, on the other hand, someone that sees the king every single day, I see the king every single day, so you got to be good to me, these are my people. And he wasn't just an ordinary person. Nechemi was a holy person, he was a very chashuv person. Yeah. So, yesh v'yesh. Everyone has, no one has everything. There's no such thing as everyone has their minds, their talents, their techniques. It's just something to keep in mind, the contrast. Always look for the contrast between these two people. They're in one book and they're in the same time period. They're doing similar things in Eretz Yisrael, but yet they're very, very different. Their approach and their hashkaf is very different. And that is something which you find that a very strong limud hamusar for Klal Yisrael in every generation. You just can't have one approach. Klal Yisrael is very large and complex, and you have to deal with all the problems on many different angles, with many different hashkafas and approaches. And that's the thing, the basic limud hamusar we take out of this sefer. Voimar lamelech, I said to the melech, Ima lamelech tov. Look what he writes. I'm not, no shame. Igros yitnuli, give me letters. For whom? Al pachvos everhana, for the governors, not just one governor. I want a separate letter addressed to every single governor. Asher yaviruni. I don't just want to show letters I can go. I want them to escort me. demands. They're going to take me over. I'm going to go. I'm going to go to the airport, have a letter from the government. I want to go on the plane that belongs to the king. That's on his entourage, his chariot, his limousine, his private jet should transfer me, should bring me across the river.
Protection.
Yeah. Asher yaviruni, they will pass me. Ad asher ovoy el Yehuda, until I reach to Yehuda. And then when I get to Yehuda, I'm not finished with you. I want more. The Igeres al Asaf. There's a person, an Eretz Yisrael in that region. His name is Asaf. I want a letter to him. Shoymer HaPardes. Now, Pardes literally means an orchard, but in this context, it means a forest, right? Pardes means an orchard, but here it means a forest. He's in charge of timber. I want you to write a letter to this person, Asaf. Asher Lamelech. Asher Yitin Li. Give. No shame. Give me a tzim wood for what? Likaros, to cover for the roof. Es share habira, the gate of the bira. Bira. Now bira means the palace. Here, the different opinions of what we're referring to. We're referring to the Beis Hamikdash. Are we referring to the wall of the city? The Harabais is for the Harabais, or the we can just mean the Beis Hamikdash. It's not clear. The different opinions. The Beis means basically all the major structures that are located in Yerushalayim and on its perimeter. Asher labashar, the gates of the Bira, of the palace, the Beis Hamikdash, Asher labayis, which is to the bayis, to the Beis Hamikdash, which goes in front of the Beis Hamikdash. And I also want wood, for the wall of the city. And look at this. I also want wood, for the bias which I will come to. Now, you can suggest, maybe we'll see, I forgot all the exact words of Rashi and Mitzvah, we'll see them in a moment. In the Beis Hamikdash itself, do I want wood to roof? Lekaros means for the roof, because the walls were made from stone. The walls were not made from wood, but they needed seemingly a lot of wood for reinforcement on the roof, not just for the Sha'are Habira and for the Choyma Su'ir, but also the bias that is within. That's what the Pasuk, in the middle of the Pasuk, Asher Labayis. But on the first, we'll see in the Mitzvah, that's not what it means. When it says here, Labayis Asher Avoy Elav, means for my own private home. He says to them, what do you think? I'm going to come there, where am I going to stay? I don't know who's going to give me a house. When I come there, I have to build for myself a bakavetik plyer. I have to have a nice house. Who's going to pay for this? You are going to pay for this. You're going to pay for my residence. That's one of others. Mepharshim say, no, he didn't ma'amish go atkei kach and demand that he should go build him a $1 million house. He meant an embassy. We have to build the Jewish embassy. We have to build, not a Jewish embassy, we have to build the Persian embassy. And I'm going to be the ambassador. I am the ambassador of, I'm going to represent the Persian government. And the ambassador of Persia needs a very distinguished dwelling place in Eretz Yisrael. And you're going to build it. V'labayis asher ovoy elav, which I plan to come to. So there are a long, long list of demands. Okay, the psukim being mekatza, like we had before, most of the details are missing. But even what the pasuk does tell us, it's remarkable of what he's demanding. He says here the word yitin li, how many times? Three times. So that's going to be the next, the demand talked to him twice. The third time is where it was granted him. The yitin li, give me, yitnuli, yitinli, give me all of, I want wood, I want a series of letters, and I want them to pass, to transfer me, and I want protection, I want all these things. And the pasuk goes on to say, vayitin li hamelach, he gave me whatever I wanted. Kiyad eloikai HaTovah Olai. We mentioned many times with Yad, that expression appears so many times in Nehemiah and in the end of Ezra, the Yad Hashem, the Kaf. We spoke about this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here, this is all part of the process of the redemption, of through the process of rebuilding the Bayis Sheni, like the good hand, the power, the divine Siyata Deshmaya that I was experienced, HaTovah Olai, and everything indeed was granted to me. Okay, so this is, let's see over here, the Rashi's in Pasuk Zayin Chinches. Igros, he said to the king, I want you to give me Igros Yidnuli, Soifrecha, your scribes, Al Rishuscha, Vedatcha, with your permission and with your knowledge. and shall be sealed with your signet ring. Official letters with what issued by your scribes on your stationery with your signet ring. Al pachois directed, addressed to the governors avor hanar of the other side of the Euphrates. We had this so many times that the world was divided into two parts at that point in time. The avor hanar on the west and on the east. On the east is paras modai and the secular world. On the west side is Eretz Yisrael and Mitzrayim and Aram and so on and so forth. So I want you to give me your letters concerning directly the governors of Eivor Hanor, Ashal Sad Eretz Yisrael, Asher Yaviruni, the Yatiruni Lishlam. They will Lishlam of Tur, like the Los Sur Esaretz. They will guide me
or permission. Like Vitron.
Okay, so they will guide me, protect me in peace. These people will escort me. These your noblemen, the letters will provide me with secret service protection. They will provide me on the other side, l'shalom in peace. Ad asher avoy liyushlaim asher bebdinas Yehud until I arrive in Yerushalayim. Pasuk ches v'igeres al esaf. Furthermore, I want another letter. When I arrive in Eretz, I want to go to the paradise. I want to go to the forest to the person asaf who is your chief. He was the secretary of the forest. Secretary of Commerce of Interior of the Forest, Vigeris El Asaf, and the Tishach Savigeris El Asaf, Shemir Hapardes, Mune Hoya Al Hayor Mashalamel, he was in charge of the forest. What do I want? I want for Likoros, for beams, Mishkol Chozok, La Sois Tikrois, Vikoros, La Shari Biro. So this is a strong word. Mishkol Chazak means it's an expression of it's an intensified noun. It's an intensified noun. La Sois Tikrois, Vikoros, La Shari Biros, to make ceilings and beams for the gates of the Biros, Harbayesh, Harbayesh, Hamilish, Banu, Bibinyanoi. It was already built. The Beis Hamidrash already was completely. That's we know from the time of Rashi is following his Ashita. That Rashi learns that Nehemiah is arriving on the scene 12 years after the binyan was complete, or a little bit even more than 12 years. But 12 years after Ezra has arrived, so the Beis Hamidrash already is banu b'binyanoi. Aval shari choymas ha'habayis v'choymas ha'chotzer asher sod Beis Hamidrash loy banu adayin. But the har habayis and the walls of the Chotzer, which surround the Beis Hamikdash, this was not. It's not really clear what exactly this is. What's the difference? Avol Shari, the gates of the walls of the Har Habayis, and I guess the Choymos HaChotzer Asher Soviv Beis Hamikdash. I assume that means the walls of the Har Habayis, not the Azara. The walls of the Har, the Chotzer. I guess we're calling the entire Har Habayis, we're calling the Chotzer. This needs to be fortified. Lo Bonu Adain, and furthermore, not only do I want to go build walls around the Har Habayis and build gates for the Har Habayis, I also want to build for the Luchem HaSuir, for Lassos Kurs, Luchem HaSuir, and also to make beams. I need beams for the walls of the city. And then he writes further, the Labayis Asher Ovoy Elov, Lassos Bayis Asher Eshabor Litzorchi. So Rashi learns that when it says here in this pasuk, and for the Bayit, is now referring to repairs of the Beis Hamikdash, upgrades. The Beis Hamikdash, it's very likely was very primitive at this point in time. We know that didn't really get there, was not really enhanced until Hordes, until 300 years later. But even more than 300 years later. But at this point in time, simply if you read the pasuk, you would not know otherwise. You would think v'labayis hasha'ava b'soicha means, in addition to fortifying the harabayis and building the walls of Yerushalayim, also want to upgrade the Beis Hamikdash itself and put on a better ceiling and fortifications. No, but that's not what Rashi learns. Rashi learns v'labayis hasha'ava b'love means my own personal dwelling place. V'lasos what? Oh, that's a question. It doesn't say that. So you're learning that it means that who will own the bias? It will be owned by the Persian government. I will just be an ambassador. No, if you want, you can learn. No, I need. You know, it says to Dayarish. You know, private residence, and the government has to pay. These are the benefits of being the butler.
Exactly.
For my own benefit. Okay. Obviously, there's very little shame. Not that it's bad. This is an approach. This is a demand. I remember once hearing on a table a certain very big gadol, and he was very frustrated. He came to America, and he came that things were not developing at a pace that he anticipate after the war. He figured that Mashiach will come very soon, and he was very upset. And he was already very old, and he saw that Mashiach's not coming in his lifetime. So he took his cane, and he was banging with his cane. And he said, "It's just not going. Mashiach is not coming. That's the case. We have to bring Mashiach with chutzpah. We have to bring. He doesn't want to come. Be with chutzpah. We'll bring Mashiach. We'll just demand that it comes." So he's like, we came to America, nushtal hate, like Ezra, meek, humble. It's not going. Not going. We have to change our attitude in how we bring Mashiach, and that's exactly what Nehemiah here is doing. Nehemiah is telling, "I want to private." That's like the cherry on top of the cake. I want a private house. It's not just enough. I want an escort. I want protection. I want far. I want a private $1 million house for myself.
Zayit. He's talking to sort of a fellow Jew.
Friend. Right, the son of Esther. Hashegel, the Shegel is right in front. Esther is right there. You're right. So there are many factors. You just can't look at one detail. You have to look at the big picture. You look at the big picture, then you can understand why there's such a fundamental difference between Ezra and Nehemiah. It's not simple. Nothing is just black and white. There are many different layers which need to be uncovered to understand why it was like this. Vayitin li hamelech, the king gave to me, as kol asher sha'alti meimo, he gave me everything I want, kefi yodei shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shehoisa toive olai lehatz licheni, Hashem brought about my success. Okay, let's maybe, yes.
Not only is it the chutzpah of asking, but then he says, and
he gave me.
And he gave it to me.
He gave everything to me. Whatever I wanted. Whatever I want. It's striking. The Malbim makes this point. The Malbim, he right away compares this to Ezra. Ezra's approach, quiet, still hate. You don't want to ask the faster, manubu like the faster. Very, very different approach. And everything in the Chemi has to be looked in that level of comparing one to the other. Okay, let's just run very quickly, because I like doing sometimes the mitzvot, even though it's not a repetition, but sometimes there's a hidden gem in the mitzvot that we can bring out. Ches, Papa Apostle Zayin, Yidnuli, Sefer HaMelech Yidnuli, Igros, Bershuscha, El Moshle, Ayve Hanar, they gave me letters, Asher Yaviruni, Shem Yaviru, Oisi, Be Halvoyas, Anoshim, Lishamreni, Baderech. So here, according to the mitzvot, it means protection. That's not the way Rashi, if you learn Pasuk very silly, it just means it was expensive. To go get a flight, get a ticket to Eretz Yisrael, cost over $1,000. You know, in the middle, good time, good season, get a ticket, it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money to go. So simply, I want you to pay for the expense of travel. That's how you learn simply. No, that's not what the Mitzvah says. He says it's what he really wants over here is protection. That's the Iker. It's a very dangerous trip. Contrast that with Ezra, which was Goizra, Yom Tzoyim. He was afraid to ask the king for any protection because he knew that the king heard that Klal Yisrael, this is even Daryovish. And he knew that the king heard that we are successful, Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect us. So he was embarrassed to ask for any protection. Instead, Ezra was gozer a yom tzom, a fast day, to pray to Hashem that we should be protected on our journey. And here, no, Asher Yaviru, and it's also very interesting. The day when Ezra went to Eretz Yisrael, he took with him billions of dollars of gifts. And he came from the Beis HaMikdash that still remained in Bavel, and that was in the possession of Daryavish in Persia. And no protection. They didn't offer protection, and they didn't ask for protection. Instead, they were mispalel that Hashem should protect them. And here, Nehemiah is not taking along. We don't find that he's taking along with him anything. He's not taking anything with him. He's going as a private person. He's going with a few people. It's not a large entourage, just a few people that are going. Nothing in their pockets. And yet, I'm going. I want protection. I want this and I want that. Pasik Ches. I want also a letter. The Igeres. Gam Yitnu Li. I demand that you give me a letter. Igeres. El Osof Shem Ashemer Esapardes. Vuhu Hoya Hapokit. He was the officer. Al Atse Hayar. Like Rashi. What do I need the wood for? I need likoros laasos tikros al sha'arei har habayis hamesavev es beis hamikdash, to make a roof over the gate of the Har HaBayis, which surrounds the Beis HaMikdash, and I need wood for the wall. See, this we don't understand this. You have to study ancient architecture, that they used to use a lot of wood in the building of walls. Because today you go look at Eretz Yisrael and everything is stone. But it's not the way it was. It's much more complex than just stone. There's wood also that is used. Asher avo elav rotz lemar hanase litzorchi lavoy elav l'shev. So he learns like Rashi that the bayis, in addition to the gate of the Har HaBayis and the wall of the Har HaBayis, and Yerushalayim is one personal use. Vayitain tziva losis liyigeres. He gave the command that it should be done. Kiyad elokoi kimosho yad elokoi atoiva alai losis lichein b'einei hamel. So here he is, a beautiful word. The mitzudos is that what is the yad Hashem? The yad Hashem was Hashem granted chein in the eyes of the officials, the government officials, specifically the Yadish, that all of my requests were granted. Let's go back to the pasuk text. Vavoy el pachvois aver hanohar. I arrived across the Euphrates. I reached the other side of the river. V'etna lohem es igros hamelach. I gave to them, I delivered the letters, the multiple letters, to all different members of the government, and everyone shall do what they're supposed to do. And furthermore, the king sent with me officers, an army, ufaroshim, cavalrymen, horsemen, all different types of armed services. All the branches of the armed services were represented: Air Force, Marines, and Navy. And what I leave out, the army. They were all there. They were all there to protect me and to guide me when I went on my trip. Pasuk Yud. What happened? Let's see Rashi. Rashi one short Rashi. When Elohim es igros hamelech leman yatiruni l'shalom, they shall escort me. They shall guide me. Yatirun means to guide me in peace. Sorry, chayel ufarashim shalach hamelech yimi l'chvoidi leman elech l'shalom, in my honor that I shall go in peace. Pasuk Yud. Vayishma. Now we meet a whole new cast of characters. It's always in Tanakh. It's always Yarnoi Ishe HaTanakh. Here we have new characters. Sanbalat HaChoyroini. Who was the leader in Eretz Yisrael? Who was an influential person in Eretz Yisrael? Sanbalat HaChoyroini. And V'Tovia Ho'eved Ho'amoni. Tovia, a slave from the nation of Amoni. Vayera Lohem Ro Gedolo. It was very evil in their eyes. Asher bo adam, that a person like me has arrived. Levakesh toivo levnei Yisrael. It's an incredible pasuk. What was rather in their eyes? Someone wants to do good. It's an incredible way of describing. So one thing, you want to do good, okay? But don't interfere. Don't take away. I'm the boss here. Don't challenge my authority. When someone new arrives, or you're an organization, and they hire a new person to serve a certain function, so there's a threat. This new employee, what's the problem? Why don't you like him? I don't like his personality. He's a threat. They're trying to replace me. They're trying to get rid of me. He's going to replace me. He's going to take away part of my role. That's not what Sanbalat Achoyroini and Tovio Eved Harmoni, that was not what they had a problem. The problem was, there's a person who wants to do good. Tosek is saying Eidos. These were evil people. They wanted to undermine Klal Yisrael. Now we're going to see what's really shocking is that according to many opinions, they were really Jews. They're not Goyim. Okay, we'll see the Rashi and the Mesudas.
It's assumed they were Goyim.
Oh, so that's a very big debate. Were they Magayer, or were they Goyim who were married to Jewish girls? They were part of the intermarriage problem. And again, now this is going to parallel very nicely with Ezra. Because we thought in Sefer Ezra, the intermarriage problem was solved. There was a crisis, intermarriage crisis. The end of Ezra concludes that Ezra, Zgoizer, Tsoim, and they all come together, they all come to the Beis HaMikdash in the rain, and they tell him, we're going to do whatever you want, and they listen, and they separate. 113 men have been singled out for fulfilling the requests and demands of Ezra. So we think it's a done deal. That's it, the crisis is over. No, it's not. There were people that did not separate from the Jewish women. and they remained part of Klal, they remained intermingled with the Jews, and being that they were non-Jews, and they were rejected, like we learned yesterday about Timna Amalek, one of the reasons why Amalek hates us so much is because Timna was rejected. Timna, she was the product of, she was a mamzeres, product of Esau, of Eliphaz having relations with what was the Seir, the wife of Seir HaChoyri, very similar over here to HaChoyroni. Okay, it's very similar. Could be she was a product, and she wanted to join Klal Yisrael. She went to Yaakov and she asked, "Can I please be your Pilegesh?" That's what it says in the Yalkut Shemini. And Yaakov said, "No way, no way. Am I going to take you as the Pilegesh? You cannot have any Shaychus and Klal." Some of the Mefarshim are critical of Yaakov Avinu that he should not have pushed her away b'shtei yodayim. Some are not. Some say, "Adrab, it was a good thing that he did." Consequences are Amalek. That's nothing that we have any control over. But that's a very difficult balance of when you push away and when you accept. By accepting, you're just causing yourself trouble. Chazal said that Gerim, they are not fully sincere, can be a sapachas, can be a scamp for Klal Yisrael in one respect. So how do you, on the other hand, if you push them away, they can become your worst enemies. It's a no-win situation. And that's what's happening over here. We have over here this person, Samlan Hacharoni, the Tovia Ho'evet Ho'amoni, they were rejected. They were part of the collateral damage of Ezra separating the non-Jewish women and non-Jewish men from the Jewish women, which is not recorded in Sefer Ezra, but Chazal tell us they were, and that's why they had such intense hatred for Klal Yisrael, and anyone that arrived on the scene that had a plan to do good, even though your good will not interfere with my role, with my authority, still, I don't want to know from you, and it's trouble. Let's see Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Yud.
Like that, Timna was interested from the time of Avraham Avinu.
What?
From the time of Avraham Avinu.
Yeah.
Timna was interested to get married with one of
the... Timna didn't exist. Timna was not from Avraham. Timna was later. It was the time of Yaakov Avinu. Timna was a grandson of Esav. Esav had a son, Eliphaz. Eliphaz had relations with this woman, the wife of Seir HaChoyri, produced Timna. So that means Timna was Esav's granddaughter. And Esav's granddaughter wanted to be a Pelegesh to Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov Avinu said no. So she went to her father, and her father said, "So you'll be my Pelegesh." So the father lived with his own daughter, and that produced Amalek. So Amalek was the great-grandson of Esav. Was the great Esav, Eliphaz? No, it was the grandson. Eliphaz was the grandson. From which side? From the daughter, it was a great, and from the son, it was a grandson. I didn't tell you this yesterday, but I forgot to mention this yesterday. This is why Amalek is misnaged kineged the Torah. We have Amalek right before Matan Torah and Amalek right before Purim. Matan Torah is Torah Shebichsav and Purim is Kimu v'Kiblu, Kimu Masha Kiblu Kvar, Ibn Avas Hanes. There was a new Kabbalah special on Torah Shebal Peh. What do we know about Matan Torah? V'idatim levonecha ulevnei vonecha. There's a very strong focus on grandchildren. There's a very focus on grandchildren in Klal Yisrael in connection with giving over Torah. Esav, the Yalkut Shemoni says, Esav said to his grandson Amalek, and it was a grandson from his son, a great grandson from his from Timna, which means from the daughter, which is a grandson and great grandson. He said to Esav, to Amalek, his grandson, Amalek's son, Esav, Eliphaz, Amalek, his grandson. I tried my whole life to kill Yaakov Avinu. I tried, but I was never successful. HaKadosh Baruch Hu always brought it about, therefore you finish off what I could not do. So the Mesoira Could you believe this? This is what the Alchosh Rani says. The whole Messiah that Amalek lives by is to fulfill the Messiah of the Zayda. The Zayda Amalek instructed and groomed his grandson Amalek to finish off what? Vayistoim Esav Liyakov. Esav hated Yaakov and he wanted to kill him. And Rivka knew that this was going to happen, and therefore Rivka sent away Yaakov Avinu. And Be'osa Shah Nichmanu Rachamov, when they met later on the road, Be'osa Shah Nichmanu Rachamov, and he kissed him, even though he really tried to kill him, but at that time he had Rachmanis. He was never successful, but he gave over this Messiah to his grandchild. Nimela Klali Shol Zel Umazeh. The antidote to protect ourselves from what Amalek is trying to do to us, we have to be loyal to our grandfather, to our Messiah. The Messiah, the connection between a grandchild and a grandfather, is Zel Umazeh Amalek, because Amalek's mission is a kiyum of what the grandfather trained him to do. And that's why the parasha of Amalek was always before Matan Torah. It's before Vayavo Refidim. They were Rafu Atzam. There are many connections between right before they came to Amalek on their way, on their journey to Har Sinai, is when Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael. And Purim is Kimu V'Kiblu, Kim Ashekiblu Kvar. All took place in the framework of Amalek. And that's really going off the topic, but it does relate over here a little bit to this pasuk to some degree because of the intense hatred of Tovia and Sanballat. Yeah? Yeah.
It said that
Sharafu
and Israel, they haven't acquired Torah and appreciation to what was done for them. Amalek has an appreciation acquired Torah because Hashem told Abraham to give ye Zaracha ve'eres lo rahim. Amalek also Esav Mizer Abraham. They didn't go to the Mizraim and to what Amalek paid. And Israel went and suffered instead of Esav. And Israel also, they took Ayesh Hashem Bekirbenu. They saw so much miracles. And Hashem sent both of them together that they haven't acquired Torah to each other and to Hashem.
Okay, very good, very good. Okay, it's good, very good.
Got revenge from both sides.
Okay, let's see Pasuk Yud in Rashi. Rashi just reinforced what we just said. Vayishma Sanballat, Kasher Shamu Shabosi Levakish Toivo Al Yisrael, Velivnois Chomos Yerushalayim, Vayera Beineyem. There was evil in the rise in Rashi here. Rashi here says something which is very important. Ki Hoyu Tzore Yehudu Uvinyamin. Rashi is connecting this back to Sefer Ezra. In the very beginning of Sefer Ezra, we learned about the Koresh issuing the proclamation that the Jewish people can return to Eretz Yisrael. 42,360 people took up the call of Koresh. They went back to Eretz Yisrael. And then what happened? The Tzorei Yehuda Ubinyamin issued a report to Koresh, the Jews are rebelling. Not only do they want to rebuild the base Hamidash, as you've granted permission, they want to rebuild the city, they want to rebuild the walls, and they want to rebel against the government. They're not going to pay taxes, and they're going to be a source of trouble for you. And he listened. Now, we typically learn that who are the Tzorei, the enemies of Yehudu Ubinyamin? They were led by the Bnei Haman, the Aseres Bnei Haman. However, Rashi here says that these two people, Sanballat HaChoroni and Tovia HaEved HaAmoni, were part of them, which means we have some overlap. That we're going now back about 25 years, even more than 25 years. We're going back more because now it's 20 years. And it's like 40 years, and now it's 52 years, so it's 38. So going back 48 years, the same people who were there 52 years after the Korban, 18 years before the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, the Tzorei Yehudu Ubinyamin went and made trouble. and that was 18 years, and then we have now 20 years in the Malchus of Daryavesh. So with 38 years since we have mentioned the last time we heard about the Tsarei Yehuda Ubin Yamin, and here along comes Rashi and says, oh, they're the same, they're just 38 years older. They're 38 years older, and they're doing the same problems, the same, even though we got rid of the Aseres Mehaman, there were still pockets of resistance, and that's who they are. Now that has to mean that according to Rashi, Rashi learns very simply they are Goyim. They are non-Jews. They're non-Jews that have no connection to Yadus. Let us see the Mitzudas Pasik Tes, a Pasik Yud, Vayishma Masha Sha'alti Me'ez HaMelech B'Dvar Bin Ha'ir. It was heard. Okay, it was heard by these two people. Same thing. They're the Tsarei Yehuda Binyamin. I don't have in front of me the Mikros Gedolos, but I vaguely remember learning and preparing. Is maybe it's a Ralbach or some album. They collect a whole collection of Midrashim and that some learn. Maybe we'll come across them in more detail as we go through the Perek. The next Perek is that they were married to Kohanim. Like I mentioned before, they were Megayer, but their Gerus was insincere, or they were not Megayer, and they were married to Jews, even to Kohanim, the daughters of Kohanim. So they were part of the Mishpacha, they were part of the leadership in Klal Yisrael. And when Ezra demanded that they be expelled, so either they did not, they refused. And when we learned in Sefer Ezra, that's only part of the story. That's only 130 people that listened. But there were people that did not listen. It wasn't 100%, everything was not fulfilled 100%. Or some learn, like we said before, three people we said before, they had no choice. They were forced to divorce their wives. But the hatred of rejection is the hatred of Amalek. And that's why now their hatred has been reinforced, and they'll do everything in their power to cause harm to Klal Yisrael. So that's who they are. Sanballat Hachoroni, and Tovia, he was an Eved. An Eved Amoni, he was a slave. He was an Eved Kanani from the nation of Ammon. So some will learn that he was Jewish, because an Eved Kanani goes through a process of tefillah, mikvah, mila. You have to be mal, an Eved Kanani, and you immerse him in the mikvah, and he's chayvin mitzvos ki'isha. Some of the Chassam Sefer says that Haman was Jewish. The biggest Jew haters are Jewish. Haman was Jewish because Haman was a slave, says Chassam Sefer. I'm not making this up, was a slave of Mordechai. Mordechai once upon a time owned Haman. Haman was an Eved Kanani. Eved Kanani means he had a mila and he was put in the mikvah and he was chayv in mitzvahs ki'isha. And somehow Haman, we don't know the whole story, broke free. He broke free, but he never accepted upon himself, obviously, to be observant. And Adarav, he is the essence of Amalek. L'hashmil haru l'avdes kol ha'yehudim, a pure Amalek. But that's to a certain degree Tovia. You have the same exact thing here. Tovia, he's good. Really, he's so good. That's a contradiction to his name. He was an Eved, Hu'amoni, the nation of Ammon, Vayer Elohim, very frightening pasuk. The Ra was a person, Levakesh Tova. It's frightening. A person, I'm not going to take away your power. Just the fact that you want to be Mevakesh Tova is the reason why I hate you. It's true anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism is not... It's spiritual. It's something which is... all the Mepharshim say this. Why do they hate us? What do we do to them? We do everything. We're good to them. All the bracha that comes to the world comes from Klal Yisrael. So why do they hate us? It's not something which can be defined. It's something which is spiritual. It's a spiritual jealousy. It's a recognition that Yaakov Avinu took the Bechayra from Esav. Esav was not holding at the Madrega of Yaakov Avinu. And Yaakov took the Bechayra, stole the brachos. It goes back to our spiritual core. It's not something which can be defined that makes sense in this world. That's what anti-Semitism is. And it's exactly what's doing here. This pasuk fataychus anti-Semitism. Asher bo vayera lohem ro gedoyla or ro gedoyla asher bo odom. Because there's a person in this world, levakesh toivo levnei Yisrael. It's a pasuk that defines what anti-Semitism is all about. Okay, so we'll stop here. Let's do something on the parasha. Let me get a chumash. Okay. So 1 second to find this. Give me 1 second to find something over here. Okay. Okay. 1 second.